Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit. Welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. A podcast is to get successful people on, just to talk about what inspires them, what motivates them, the successes and the challenges they faced in business, how they've overcome them, what they've learned along the way. It's a really practical podcast trying to offer real value to the listeners and things you can implement on a daily basis, things around business and strategy and habits, lifestyle, performance. Hi everyone, just before I start the episode, just a couple of things to tell you about. First of all, my guest today and about the podcast, so Liam Ryan from Assets for Life. Liam is driven, he's highly motivated, he's very determined, he's very focused, but he's also very compassionate and very open. And I think it's such a great blend as a person and a businessman. And as much as you'll get some really good practical advice from the episode around business, also, and I think the biggest thing is his story, it's his journey, the things he's overcome, the ups and certainly the downs, and he talks about them a lot. And I think people can really resonate with that, about his journey through life to be in the successful position he is in now in his business. So yeah, lots to get from the episode today. Second thing is just things we've got coming up in the new year. So if you want to work with us at the gym, 40 Fit, our next 9-week course, personal training program, starts on the 6th of January. That's the personal training at the gym with the nutrition and the coaching that comes with it. And if you want to personally work with me, so if you're a business owner or you're a senior level exec, director, that is struggling with your habits, with your nutrition and your performance, then my next lifestyle transformation program starts on Monday the 13th of January. It's a 10-week course. And it will just help you to perform better, reduce your stress, get your daily habits better and improve your lifestyle. So if that is of interest, then drop me a message, Oliver at 40fit.co.uk, and we can start a conversation and see if it would be suitable. Other than that, guys, episode is coming up now with Liam and I hope you all enjoy it. Hi, podcast community. Really excited today's episode. I'm with Liam Ryan from Assets for Life. Liam is an entrepreneur and a great businessman and a really cool guy. And I think we're going to get lots from it today. Obviously, very driven, very focused and really compassionate. And you're going to hopefully get some real knowledge bombs from the episode. Liam, thanks so much for coming on, mate.
Yeah, no, pleasure.
Anything you want to add to what's going on?
Hey, look, here's the thing. I love business. I love property. I love entrepreneurship. I love helping people. I believe with the right help, support and guidance, every single person listening to this, watching this, can live their dream life. You've just got to surround yourself with the right sort of people. So, hey, look, it's good to be here. Hopefully I can serve your community and make some new connections, some new friends, new business partners for the future.
Yeah, thanks. That's great, Liam. I really do appreciate your time. And we said actually before we coming on that one thing that struck me, I mean, we've just met today, but obviously we connected a few weeks back through socials, is you're actually caring about helping people and the way you come across. And I think that's evident. So, yeah, you saying that, mate, I second that.
Excellent.
Definitely. So what was your first job after uni, college? How did it start?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Like, I had my first business at the age of 8. So I got involved way before I finished school, yeah? So I was that kid at school that used to go in with like 2 bags. I'd have my school bag, you know, with the calculator, the pens, the papers. Wasn't really that interested in that bag. And then I had the big, long Adidas bag filled with T-shirts and jeans. And I was that kid at school that could get you. Yeah, at 8. Yeah. At 8, I started that, yeah? At 8, I started selling sweets. So at 8, I started selling sweets I created a tuck shop. So I don't know if you remember the old Space Invader Chris, the Puff Chris, the Strawberry Bonbons.
How nice was Space Invader Chris, though, by the way?
Pickled onion all day long.
All day, had to be pickled onion.
So I started selling stuff in the playground. And then when I went into secondary school, my mum introduced me to a good friend of hers called Tim, and he was a market trader. So I started hanging out with him, and that's when I started selling T-shirts, perfumes, jeans to secondary school people.
So like, So when you used to, was that just it's entrepreneurship, this business, was it in you? Can you remember
I tell you what it was, and we've all got a story, but we grew up with not a lot of money. It was really difficult. We lived on council estates. I remember it was really hard for my mum to put food on the table. We had a period where we lived in like a caravan and lived in places with no heating and women's refuges. And it was quite a difficult period. And I remember being a young lad thinking, I just want to look after my mum. You know, I just want to look after mum. I just want to look after my brother. And from a young age, I became very obsessed with money, material items. So on a Saturday, I'd walk out of our council block. I'd go over to the newsagents and I'd just spend the entire morning sitting in the back of the newsagents, obsessing over fast cars, guys in suits, you know, luxury items. And I just remember saying to myself, I'm going to be rich. So for me, I just had this bug and this absolute passion of buying something for £1 and, you know, and selling it for £3.
But that's business.
Yeah, that's business.
Buying and transactions of it is ultimately business. And I think, do you think that lessons learned, like just that pure of getting your hands dirty, in the trenches, buying something, selling it, making money?
Yeah.
That's obviously ultimately business. Is that just sort of shaped and how is that sort of the way you have been now?
I think that pure determination, yeah. Started at a young age. I really enjoyed it. It gave me a sense of empowerment. It gave me a sense of achievement. I enjoyed hanging out with the older kids because obviously they then wanted to buy stuff from me. And I suppose for me, it gave me that sense of purpose. Yeah. I was quite a shy kid, you know, at school. And I don't know if anyone watching this or listening to this, you know, where you put on a brave face. And I just learned survival skills from a very young age. Yeah. So inside, I may have been not feeling too good about myself. But on the outside, I put on a brave face and you do whatever you do, right, to survive. And for me, that was what I was doing to survive at that stage. When I left school or while I was at school, I was 15 years of age. I remember walking.
So you left at 15.
No.
Don't worry.
I left school in year 11, so I'd done my GCSEs. Yeah. But at 15, I walked into Colchester Town Centre up Head Street, past the cinema, and there was this little office with a big yellow sign that had door canvassers required, big rates of pay. I was like, man, I want to make big lots of money. 16 years and over. Well, I knew I was only 15, so I quickly went round the back. I dumped my bag in a bin, took off my blazer and my tie, and I walked in, and there was this guy called Jim Ramford, and he gave me the job on the spot. And I went out at 4:30 that day, knocking on doors for Zenith Windows. So I became a door canvasser, and that really, for me, taught me that how to negotiate. Because in business, in sales, in entrepreneurship, you have to embrace the no's. And when you knock on doors at the age of 15, you might go through 50 or 60 no's before you get a yes. But I really embraced that whole process. I ended up becoming the UK's number one door canvasser. I won awards for it.
I mean, look, because I get it. Like, and getting, have you always been, were you always wired that way? Like, no's, were you able to come, or is there a stage that you've overcome that? Is it just getting exposed to getting no?
Perseverance. I suppose for me, when you then get that yes, there's this sense of achievement. It's like, oh, this, it's like you're elevated to a higher level. And then it's like a drug. It's like a buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, I might go through 50 no's, but then I get a yes.
And then you're buzzing.
Yeah. And then you're buzzing. And then you're like, I want to get another yes. And then it gets easier to get yeses.
Yeah. So carrying on through the journey. So you're 15, nearly finishing school. Got the job line about your age. Obviously, being a brilliant door salesman for Zenith. Did you leave school? So you left school at 16. How did your journey go from there?
Good question. So I left school at 16. I was with a girlfriend. I was, you know, that guy at school with the girl, high school sweethearts. So I left school at 16, went to college, Colchester Institute, the GMVQ in business management. And about 5 weeks in, I just had this realization that this was not for me. I was doing really good knocking on doors in the evening. So it made complete sense to me. Well, if I'm making, you know, £250 a week, knocking on doors five evenings in a Saturday, surely if I doubled that, I'm going to make £500, if not more. And at that time, you know, 20 years ago, there's a lot of money. So I left college and I just became a full-time door knocker. And at 10 pitches, you were paid £40 a pitch. That was 400 quid. And there were some weeks I was doing 20, 25 pitches. So I was making £1,000 a week at 16 knocking on doors. And with that came, you know, I had no realization of how to manage money at the age of 16. You know, you make 500, you spend 500. You make 800, you spend 900.
But you learn, the thing is, you're learning to make money. Yeah. You're learning the transaction side. And also you're putting in the hour, like you say, that resilience, you're building up this resilience and this determination. Something that struck me about you is, like, I think, you know, and I sort of love your blend with stuff I've seen where you're very driven, you've got real purpose, you're very focused, you're ambitious, and you've got these real strong traits, but you've got this compassion and willingness to help people. And I think it's a great blend to have. Have you always been like that? I mean, is there any lessons learned, anything has happened for you to get to that point? Because that's how I see you now.
I think if I go back, I think it was growing up with my mum. My mum was a single parent, you know, having my brother there. That for me was big for me to look after my mum. And, you know, I just enjoy people's company. I enjoy life. I've bought, even through all my downs, and I'm sure we'll get into more stuff, but even through all my downs, I always see a positive in pretty much every situation. I'm a solutions-based person. I'm not a problems person, you know, and I just believe that. I just believe that collaboration is absolutely key. And I just believe there's so much hate in the world. Well, let's bring some love. Let's join forces. Let's work together. Let's see where the synergy is. How can we work together? Where can we add value? And then just be transparent and honest through that process.
I think it's a great outlook to have. I always you know, talk about you've sink or swim. You know,
so
whatever
true.
Situation, you're only ever going to deal with it or not.
Yeah.
You know, I've said before and stuff, and I second exactly what you're saying there because, yeah, that is the situation you're dealing with. Overcome it.
Just overcome it.
You're just going to let it's going to wallow and self-pity and you're going to let it bother you. So I think positivity is huge. You've got to move forward and learn from the situation. So from there, like, so you've done this, that obviously presented Windows, you're now doubling up, you're doubling your money, you're doing more. What stage, where did business take you from there?
I started to work for an insurance company, National Direct in Ipswich. So what happened was I was door knocking. I loved it. I'd done it for quite a number of years. And I just was like, whatever I'm spending, earning, I'm spending. And I started to get addicted to fruit machines. And I just thought, you know what, maybe I need to go get what I thought would be a proper job. I thought, go and do something a little bit different, get in an office. So I applied for an insurance role, National Direct, Ipswich. I started to work for those guys. And that was really good. And I worked in the renewals sector. They went into the sales sector. I met my best mate, Andy. We became best mates. And I became top salesman there as well, and end up being a manager there. And then I got an opportunity to go and work overseas. So I was 20 at the time. So an opportunity to go work overseas, work with a sales and marketing company, lead generation, you know, working with on dialers and generating leads and quite a high-paced atmosphere. And I thought, you know what, let's go for the interview. Let's see what happens. And at this stage, I was partying a bit. You know, I was going out on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and then it was going like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I started to sort of dabble with class A drugs and was drinking a lot and smoking a lot of pot. And I thought, hey, you know what? Let's move overseas. Let's break the cycle. Let's start afresh. And there I was, March the 3rd, 2001. I'm at Luton Airport. I'm there with my white Air Max on, fresh out of the box. I'm with a white Reebok tracksuit on.
Yeah.
I've got the cap on, you know. I know, I look like a chav, right? And I'm there with my mum, and my mum's like, I'm a right mummy's boy. My mum's got this like mad orange, like crazy ass hippie style hair. And I just give my mum a hug and I said, Mum, I'm going to get on the plane. I don't know how this is going to happen. We're going to become millionaires. And that was it. I got on the plane. And that was a new chapter of my life.
Yeah. And then for your experience abroad, is that where you then obviously come away from, you know, say Class A's and the drink and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I got abroad. I started working for this company. It was really, really, really good. Started making some big money. And it was in a, you know, sales and marketing, all about hitting targets, you know, ego-driven, lots of high fives. And actually, the partying just got worse and worse.
Okay,
yeah, it just got worse.
Yeah.
But I was in my early 20s. I sort of could handle it. You know, I could survive on 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I was running on pure adrenaline, you know, and I started to make some really, really, really nice money. I had $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
I was sending money back to my mum. She ended up buying a house. She opened up a business called Bieber Lives in Camden Market. So she started to live the life of her dreams.
You must be you must love that.
It was lovely.
Even early days, you go back to that where you're talking about your brother and your mum.
Yeah.
You had this protector role early on, didn't you? Even like you said.
Yeah, so sending money back, saying, nice. do this. So that was really, really nice.
But it's the story, and this is what, you know, this is what I love, and this is it's your journey, it's your story to get to where you are now. Because everyone has a journey. Everyone's had to overcome stuff. So like aside from say the drinking and drugs and the social that you overcome as a challenge, any other challenges in business that you've had to overcome that lead you now to living right sitting here in a better place?
So certainly in that time in my 20s, mid-20s, really into my late 20s, I got heavily addicted to cocaine and alcohol. I was a cocaine addict, you know, a daily user, and they got a point where I wanted to stop and I couldn't stop, and I realized I was in trouble. So I'd done a couple of rehabs, but through that process as well, I ended up opening up my own business, my own lead generation business. I started that with 4 guys that went to 40 guys. Before I know it, I'm 170 people around the world working for me in different locations. It was insane. Challenges, I had a couple of not very nice business partners. So in my mid-20s, I got involved with a couple of people. They tried to take advantage. They tried to steal my business. They tried to nick my staff. They tried to screw me over. I'm younger. They're older. And that was quite a terrifying experience in my mid-20s to go through that. I ended up getting private detectives involved to follow them about. Yeah, it just wasn't very nice. But it's like going on a date. You don't have a bad date and then say you never go on a date again. You just go on another date.
Yeah.
So I've got a business partner today. It's brilliant. You know, you keep trying. You get up, you brush yourself down. So I think it's important when you're faced with challenges is to have at least one person that you can go and share anything with.
Yeah, having
anything.
And is this for you, is this your mum?
My mum. And then for me, when I started to get into recovery, it was my sponsor. So yeah, it's good to have one person that you can go to and just share what's going on.
Never many people, is it? You know, from so God,
never many.
20 friends. You're never gonna have 20 friends.
No, no. Like,
true friends and
stuff.
It's always small ones, you know. Right. So, because this is, mate, your journey's great. I think this is the inspiring part of it to me, mate. Hearing you talk, I didn't know all this stuff, and it makes your journey. And I think I tip my hat even more to you because you're coming out the other side and where you are now. So, mid-20s, you've had the shit you dealt with your these people in business. You're into, obviously, you know, heavily into your drugs and stuff like that. Then you go into rehab and you overcome it. I take it that your businesses and stuff then went when you – and they're not – so how did that stop and now your assets for life 4 years in and doing well?
Yeah,
where's the journey in that little bit?
Yeah, so what happened was I ended up going back to – I went to rehab in South Africa, and I went out there – I was 30 years of age and I went out there to get clean and sober. And then I found myself back in Europe in 2010, I believe, something along, maybe 2000, I can't quite get my dates right, but maybe 2012. 2012, I came back to Europe and then I had my lead generation business. And then I just wanted a change. I thought, you know what? I want to get back to the UK. I want to be closer to my kids. So I moved back to the UK April 2014. And I got involved with renewable energy. So a good friend of mine, Jim Kirkland, lived in Scotland. He was doing solar panels. I was like, man, I want to do some solar panels. Because he said he had a door canvassing team, a sales rep team.
You're just a natural, this natural just is pick, in your DNA yourself.
Just pick something up. Yeah. So I went and spent some time up with Jim in Scotland. I said, Jim, like, there's no sun in Scotland. How can you sell solar panels? He said, it's done on sunlight. So I came back to Chelmsford. I got a brand new office, Molsham Street, 3,500 square foot. We opened the doors August the 18th, 2014. And unfortunately, a year into that business, the government changed a lot of the legislations and it wasn't scalable. It wasn't sustainable. I had over 115 people at that point. Again, another big blow, needed to run that company down. And through that process, I met who is my business partner today, Jay Moonall. So I went to his house. I sold him solar panels. And then he said he was a professional property investor. He told me he'd been working as a top project manager with Skanska and ISG. He's worked alongside Alan Sugar. He's worked on some of the biggest builds in London. He goes to tell me he loves spreadsheets. I'm like, man, this guy does all the stuff in property that I hate doing and I'm no good at doing. I thought there's some synergy here.
And did you hit it off?
And we just hit it off there and then.
Great guy.
He was looking to raise some money. I was like, what do you mean raise money? And he told me about doing no money down property deals. And he told me how he built a multi-million pound property portfolio. But I could see that Jay was doing all the work himself because he's come from an employee background. He didn't quite have the mentality of a business owner. And we just hooked up. We joined forces. And that was the start of Assets for Life, which is our property investment and educational business.
Amazing. What a journey in that. And we talk about, it's come up before with Callum, so we spoke about, so I've got a business partner here at the gym, completely different to me. We have a shared passion. We're very, very focused, very driven. We're very professional. We want to, you know, best for our clients. We've got a real way we want to keep moving forward. But the way that he brings other stuff to the table, I don't.
Yeah.
And that's why it works really well. You know, we're honest with each other. So there's no bullshit, it's nothing, you know. So it's like we talk the way we talk to each other, so we're you know, the end goal is what we want to achieve and we want to get there. But he's around program design, what he brings to the table in terms of the gym and his knowledge around that complement each other really well. So I think that actually this is quite a good lesson, anyone listening, that if you are going to joint venture, you're going to business up with someone and stuff, find someone that actually brings skills to the table that you don't have, complements you. It's got to be, you know, I'm going to be in business with my friend.
And sometimes
you've got the same attributes, but that's not necessarily going to work.
That's it. Sometimes going into business with your best mate's the worst thing you can do. You might have a laugh and a joke, but you're here to build business, build legacy, create, you know, something that you can be proud of. And, you know, I just think you can't always do that on your own. You need other great people.
100%.
So let those people in your life. And when Jay and I went into business, I shook his hand. And I said, no matter what, I've got your back and I will do everything in my power to make this a success. And if at any point in the future I feel it's not going to work, I will sit you down and let's be fair to each other. Let's not screw each other over. Let's not nick money from each other. Let's be open, honest and fair. And I've always done that with all my business partnerships and it works really well. Communication is really important. And me and Jay occasionally, because we run completely different sides to the business, if we're not careful, we might go 3-4 weeks without having a sit down.
Yeah.
And that's when sometimes relationships can get strained. So regular communication, hang out with your business partner, hang out with your team and go and have some fun.
Yeah.
And me and Jay have a lot of fun. We go away, you know, 3 or 4 times a year together. Yeah, it's great.
It's important to celebrate that and do that.
Celebrate your wins, even your small little wins. Go and celebrate.
So you
them.
Do that. So because for you, something goes well, look back, celebrate it, and then that's important to you. But then how do you moving on to not get too caught up on the win? Can you just then,
just the next target?
Next target.
Yeah, what's the next target?
Little celebration.
Yeah. Celebration, pat on the back. Yeah, we're doing good. What's next?
So for someone like you that I've seen success and the growth you've had, it interests me how you set goals.
Yeah.
Because we'll have goals. I mean, I think it's huge, you know, as in goals, actions to get to the goals, and then the strategy around your daily habits, daily actions you're doing to achieve that. So I'm very like, I'm interested to know how you set goals.
So Jay and I, we do what's called a 3-year vision. So we have a document that we create with all elements of our business and where we see the company 3 years from today. Where is it? What does the office look like? How many staff have we got? What products are we selling? What's the turnover? How many property deals? How many investors? And we go into quite a lot of detail. Now, how we create that vision is we go off the grid. So we'll go off the grid for maybe 4 or 5 days. We'll get rid of the phones, we'll get rid of the laptops, and we will just work on vision work and strategy work. And then we present that vision to all of our team members, so the whole company buys into what we're doing.
And if they don't buy in, you get their input and look at it.
We want to know why they don't buy in, what changes they want
to
make.
Are you willing to take that on board from them?
Yeah. We love to work with our team members, but they need to buy into the vision. They need to believe in the product. They need to, because we're quite fast-paced. We got a lot of energy. You need a lot of energy to work in Assets for Life. We don't believe in excuses. We believe in finding solutions. So you need to be that way. And the mindset is really important as well. So, yeah, for us, look, we set that three-year vision, which we review every 3 years. And then we'll break it down into yearly goals, half-year goals, quarterly goals.
Great. Yeah.
So we target it, yeah.
Yeah.
And we review every quarter.
Yeah. So around daily habits and stuff, do you have any professional and personal daily habits that allows Liam Ryan to manage his day well? Because when I see you doing your stuff, you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of growth and like you say, you're high energy and stuff, but you still seem very in control of it. So how do you manage, obviously, a busy day for you? Do you have some stuff you can share?
That's a really good question. So I think time management is essential for success, because we've all got the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's what you do in those 24 hours, which is really important. I think having a great team behind you is essential. And I would say the first person that you need in your team, if it's not a business partner, is a PA. So you need someone to manage and run and organize all that low value stuff. Yeah. Because the stuff that you can, yeah, it's £10 an hour, £20 an hour, £50 an hour tasks. So someone needs to come in and help you do that. And you can start with a virtual PA. You can start with someone local to you, just 3-4 hours a week.
Yeah.
Hey, cut out an Indian. Stop the booze for a few weeks. Like, don't smoke for a week or two. Like, you can find 20 or 30 quid a week if you're driven enough. So that's really important. And then having structure in your week. So I'll always look at my diary on a Sunday. And I'll always ask myself the following question. The tasks that are in my diary for this following week, are they of a high value nature? Are they going to push me towards my goal or take me away? Can I maybe outsource that to someone else?
And this is on a Sunday.
Yeah, and typically on a Sunday now. Yeah,
I'll get Sundays.
I love it, mate. I'll have a little glance through. Like, I'm raring to
Sunday's
go. Monday,
my strategy day. I posted something the other day about Sundays. Like, literally, Sundays set you up for the week.
Yeah.
Like, your week starts on a Sunday.
Yeah,
that's so important. Because
so important.
You've got to map it out. You know, you can't just turn up. You can't wake up on a Monday, right, what am I doing? You
need to be organised.
You've got to be structured out.
Yeah.
You need to know. Yeah. So I get it.
Who you got to see, what calls you got to make. You know, Monday for me can't come quick enough. I love a Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're waking up now, listening or watching this, and you hate Mondays, and you hate what you do, you've got to change it as quick as possible.
Change your job. You know,
change your job. Passion. Find the passion. Hang out with some new people. I get to the gym 7 o'clock in the morning.
This is every day?
Yeah, every day.
So going back to high value. So you look at, so this is what, so on a Sunday, you're looking at your high value things. And if there's not enough there, then you've got to adjust it.
I'll add in or outsource. Or do I really need to be at that meeting? Maybe is that something my business partner could do? And I won't typically put anything in my diary anyway, unless it's of a high value task. So what's a high value task for me? Meeting investors is a high value task. You know, networking is a high value task. Making sure that I create content for my audience is a high value task. Making sure I'm doing Facebook Lives, making sure that I'm motivating and speaking and training the team. Training is essential. The more training you do with your team, even if you're just yourself, train yourself every day. If there's you and one other, if you're a small business, train you and that person. Get everyone sold on what you are doing as a business. So it is my job as the leader, so to speak, with my business partner, to sell our ideas, our ethos, our vision to our staff members, which will then sell into our customers.
Of course it is. It's that extra time investment in them.
Yeah.
Leads to the rewards down the line. Definitely. I get it. So that's great. So obviously that's Sunday, you've got your high value tasks, and I get that totally. So going back through the week, obviously training every day, 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock is my slot. Get it started.
Anything else around personal development you do?
So I listen to podcasts, I listen to audiobooks. I love watching motivational videos. I invest in my own education, so I have great mentors.
How many, you said you have mentors?
We have mentors. We have a few mentors for between me and Jay.
So you have different mentors. What are your mentors? Obviously, I know there's one relevant into your property.
I've got a property mentor. I've got a business mentor. I've got a speaking mentor. I've got a trading mentor. I've got my gym mentor. Yeah, course, having a gym is a mentor. My business partner, Jay, he has mentors. Again, in property as well.
Yeah, love
that. Quickest route to market, find the person that's doing the thing you want to do, pay them to hang out with them, pay if they offer a course, go pay them to go on their course, and then ask them to mentor you.
I think what's really important is you're talking about the investment you've made in your education and stuff, the £1,000 and the mentoring and stuff, and I think there's two or three other wins to this as well. It's not just that you're investing in a mentor to help you grow, as in your business, but it's your self-development, the personal development, like you can impact your family and it's going to impact your staff. So yeah, you're investing in a mentor to maybe move your business forward, but it's all the other pluses, so that investment that is impacting you.
Makes
your
you feel
life.
Better, you get more encouragement. When you're feeling a bit down, you can turn to your mentor. I just love learning new stuff, you know, and I don't have any limitations on what I believe is possible in not just my life, but you know, everyone's life.
But do you think this is a key attribute then in success and growth, and actually with you, with your clients that you are helping with within the property stuff you do and stuff, that you have that outlook, that you instill that outlook in them, that anything's possible?
Anything's possible. It's really important that you take responsibility. I hear a lot of, yeah, but, or it wasn't my fault, or what, you know, I haven't got enough time, haven't got enough money, haven't got enough experience. These are just excuses that people tell themselves. So I'm all about, I need to be held to a high level of accountability. I believe everyone should be held to a high level of accountability. And you need to take responsibility for what you do on a daily basis, hourly basis, what you do every single minute.
Yeah, totally, and I get it hugely. Do you have any personal heroes? Is anyone that sort of, I mean, you've got mentors around you now. Anyone in the public eye? Not. Is there anyone that's really inspired you and you learned from?
As a kid, I used to love Tom Cruise because he was in Top Gun. So that was one of my heroes as a kid. Now, Richard Branson, you know, look at what that guy's created over the last, you know, 25, 30, 40 years. You know, the amount of businesses he's got, but look at the number of businesses that have failed. He's had more failed businesses than successful businesses. Alan Sugar, again, another fantastic character, robust, determined. Grant Cardone, I follow Grant Cardone a lot. He's an international figure now. I just spent some time with him.
What was he like spending time with him? I saw that. Do you remind me?
Hey, brilliant,
was
mate.
Was that great? Inspiring.
It was great. Yeah. A lot of people
said
to me,
"These people have failed. These people have failed businesses. Have got to a point, and it's the failures you learn from."
And what people
you
don't
can't have, you can't have it all. It just can't all be good.
No,
that's just not life. That's not reality. And actually, it's your biggest failures that lead you to a path of success anyway, definitely.
Yeah.
As long as you learn from it,
So Grant Cardone's a big, I love what he does. I'm back out there in April again on a four-day deep mastermind.
With him?
With his team members. You know, that was a considerable investment. That's a $30,000 investment. But, you know, I know what I put in, I'm going to get out because it's going to take me to the next level. And that's really, really, really important. So, yeah, I've got people I follow. I think that's important. And to be inspired to.
Yeah, brilliant. So in what would you say, I mean, you've probably touched on it, I mean, your journey's been amazing, but what would you say to Liam, you know, 10, 15 years ago, advice you could give that man then?
Invest your money into appreciating assets, yeah? So stop pot the partying, stop spending money in the wrong areas, you know, living the high life. The quicker people can build an asset-backed business that's kicking out income, the quicker you'll become financially free. And then any business you do, any job you do, you're doing it not because you need to earn money, you're doing it because you enjoy it, you love it, and there's a real passion. So yes, I wish I could have said to myself 10 years ago, invest every spare penny into assets, buy property, invest into different asset classes, funds, gold, silver, and get your money working for you and allow the eighth wonder of the world compounding to hit in,
because your money will just continue to grow. But people keep up with the Joneses. I've been there, new cars, new holidays, and that's all good. But what you want to do is have all of that stuff being paid for by passive income from investments rather than earned income.
Yeah. Something I want to ask you then. So you said from a young age, you know, you were driven by money and you wanted this and you appreciate the nice things in life. But something that strikes me about you is, yes, you enjoy those things, but you're not a bit of a dickhead. Really. You know what I mean? But you're not, though. You're not being... But so what I want to know is, like, so money's so important to you.
Yeah, I love money.
But how do you keep that in check? Like, how do you keep that in check? Because there's a balance to you now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think when we've all had different journeys, but...
And you say keeping up the Joneses, but that doesn't seem you. You like your nice things.
Yeah, I like my nice cars. I like my nice houses.
You're not above anyone. I don't think you've got that ego about you.
It doesn't make me any better or any worse than the guy or the girl on the park bench. Hey, they just had a different journey. Money doesn't give me entitlement to be something I'm not. I'm just who I am anyway. And it is really important then when people go on their journey and they make more money. I always say this, try and stay true to your values and where you came from. And yes, have lots of money, but don't become a dick. You know, don't become a knob or arrogant. It doesn't matter what you wear. I like to wear nice clothes, but it doesn't make me better than the person not wearing nice clothes.
And this is what I think's really struck me about you as well, and anyone listening, when you get to level where you're at in terms of financial and growth in business, is that you like nice things, which you're not going to apologise for.
Mm-mm.
But you don't have an ego attached to that, where you have compassion to help people.
Yeah.
That's a good place.
It's a good place to be.
Tip my hat to that, mate.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
And I think, credit you for that. And I mean, how have you got that?
I think I had lots of money. I lost lots of money in the past.
Of course.
I don't come from a rich background.
Yeah.
You know, I've struggled myself with my own demons.
Yeah.
And... I think that must be where it comes from, yeah. And I think where I've lost lots of money and I've been lucky enough to make it back again, I don't want people to go make that same mistake.
And that's hugely valuable. Like, forget, like, someone invested, someone coming to you to work with you for your property, you know, that they're gonna be one of your clients. It's not just the knowledge you developed in property and understanding with you and your business partner and what you bring, but it's your journey, it's the little pitfalls that you've had.
Yeah.
That's the value in having someone, a mentor, working with people.
Yes, they don't need to learn from my mistakes.
That's what I mean.
They can just copy the good stuff, leave out the bad stuff. That's really important. Yeah. And it is that it is just a journey, isn't it? I don't know what's ahead of me in 5 or 10 years. I want to continue to inspire. I want to continue to motivate.
Yeah.
I want to continue having my version of what our dream life is. You know, me, my wife, my kids.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think for me, to make a relevant point to the gym here and the fitness and with clients is, through my years of playing sport and you get in shape, you can get out of shape, you understand it all. And the fitness industry is a bit of a faddy thing, you know. It's like the next thing, you can have a few shakes and a silly cat and eat carrots and you know all these fads out there. And it's a similar thing, because we've been there and we now understand fads. When we educate people, when I'm working with clients to educate them, it's not just here's a training program and here's some food to eat. It's helping to understand why they're doing something. It's the education around the right foods to eat, why they're eating those foods, that life's not perfect, your diet shouldn't be perfect, your training won't be perfect, because things happen in the day to throw you off course. So when this is what we try and sort of pass on to client, that because it's not that, look, don't get too caught up on it. Clean slate policy, wipe it, the next day is another day. Good diet you keep is better than the perfect one you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think life's like that.
You can reset at any given time of any given day. You just reset.
Of course.
I'm going to start again. Meditation's good for that.
Do you do meditation?
I do. I personally find it a hard discipline to do every day.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. But yeah, little spouts, 2, 3, 4 minute silent meditations I enjoy. Yeah.
Great. So what advice would you give to someone starting out in business, your industry, business in general? I mean, you've shared some great stuff there. Is there any sort of
good question? So what advice? Make sure the business you're in can grow, can scale. Make sure there's demand for your product. That's really important. You might love what you do, but if no one wants it, then you're not going to make any money from it. So make sure there's scalability. Make sure there's good profit margins as well. Make sure there's good profit margins. Get yourself a PA as quick as you can. Be on the hunt for a business partner. Try
Do you
not
feel
to
you
become,
need a business partner?
I don't think it's essential. No, I don't think it's essential. I enjoy having a business partner because I feel you can grow quicker, you can do more, you can bounce off one another.
Did you?
And it's not as lonely. It can be lonely being a business owner sometimes.
No, of course. And I think going back to the podcast, and if anyone's listening live, they wouldn't have obviously the benefit of this. You obviously with Jay, you've got a business partner that brings great things to the table. Mm. And that sort of was stumbled across you, but you still had the intuition to go, this man's got what I haven't got, and that's why it come together. So are you saying if someone doesn't get a business partner, look at the areas you feel you would need in your business, that's the type of person you need to try and get around you,
yeah,
that you don't have.
Yeah, skills and I think it's good for anyone listening or watching, make a list of all your, you know, all the great things about you. I call it the 50 great things about you. You should have that list. What are the 50 great things about me? Because you need to understand what you can bring to the table. And a lot of people, if you say, hey, why should I do business with you? People go, I don't know. You need to know this stuff.
Yeah.
So write a list, 50 great things about you, but also write a list of all of the things where you feel you struggle or are not your strong points. Like spreadsheets, for me, not a strong point. Hate numbers, hate spreadsheets. Attention to detail, not a strong point. But because I know that, I can bring someone in that's far better at me at doing those things.
So self-awareness. I'm going to talk about self-awareness a lot. Irrelevant in everything. You know?
Now, back in the day, 7, 8, 9 years ago, I thought not knowing everything was a failure.
Yeah.
I'd feel bad if I didn't know everything. And now today, I'm like, hey, look, this is what I'm good at. And this is all the stuff I'm crap at.
So, and with them things, you're not even going to worry about them. You're just going to get people around to do them.
Yeah. It's great. I'll always look to disrupt myself and learn new stuff. But in areas that I feel that I really, really excel at and bring in more money.
And I think all of the business owners, the people you're talking about have inspired you and the mentors you've had around, and even chatting to some of the business owners we have on the podcast, Cal, you've seen as well, is they've had this ability to hone in on their strengths, develop the people around them to bring them up and do that.
That's it.
But know that they don't have to. They don't have to know the answers. They don't have to be that person that wears it all. That can do it all. Wears it. You know. Wears every hat. You need to understand your whole business. And I think that's a huge lesson. Something I've picked up and hearing people talk. And the way it is that, you don't have to have all the answers. You know what your strengths are. Hone in on them and just get the people around.
Spin
you.
Less plates.
Spin
less plates, not more plates.
Do you find less is more then?
Less is more. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I work a lot. I love my business. But I make sure there's good balance. I have a good balance.
But what is balance? Because, again, people talk about work-life balance, and someone like you loves your job. I mean, I love what I do as well. I'm really grateful for that. Even before playing football, I was fortunate to do that. So I can go and even do some self-development. You know, for me, you never switch off when you're in business because it's just how my mind's wired.
I had a day off yesterday, but did I have a day off? Not really, because I'm in my head.
Yeah. I'm the same as you, mate.
And my wife knows that, and she gets it, But I was at home, and I spent time with my wife, and she was happy with that. And I was with my little daughter and Ivy.
But she must understand that this is what makes you happy as well. You love your business. So how does work life balance sit for you? If you like your job, and
I think for me and my wife, I give my wife permission to do this. Yeah, she can literally pull me in because she sees what I don't see. And she'll say to me, look, you're just pushing it a bit too hard. Hey, I would like to see you from time to time. So for me,
And you can take that?
I can take that from my wife, yeah. Not many people, but my wife, I can take that from, yeah.
Can't argue with
a bus. I listen to her. She's the only woman I probably do listen to.
And your mum?
And my mum, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I know that.
And my daughters.
Of course, yeah.
But for me, what works for us, which might work for some other people, is a few nights a week, having dinner with the family, you know, not being in my office till midnight, getting to bed at a sensible time, watching a bit of telly with the wife, picking my daughter up from school, taking my daughter for school. That to me, like today, I'll be picking my boy up at 4 o'clock and spending time with my boy tonight.
Yeah,
that to me is really important.
Yeah, for me now, so it's funny because I'm a year old here, and with what I've got going on, probably busy in terms of stuff going, a business probably ever been and stuff, but I know that 4 nights a week
We're having dinner, me and my kiddies and my wife.
Beautiful.
Do that. I always pick my girl up from school on a Friday. So some things that will not change and
won't change. They're in the diary, no matter what.
And that sounds a bit funny. It's probably a half an answer. I probably don't quite mean this, but I do. If I could earn £1 million and change that, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It sounds funny. I know it's a hypothetical answer because £1 million is £1 million. But my point around is, I'm trying to make is that there's certain things that you can get really busy and stuff that I won't. That are so important to me that I don't let it, I won't let impact, I won't ever arrange a meeting or something important at that time.
That's it, it's blocked in your diary. Coming back to time management, I believe what goes in your diary stays in your diary and gets done.
Yeah.
So you've got to be using some form of a diary system.
It's accountability, isn't it?
To keep yourself accountable.
Yeah.
So block stuff out. Now, 10 years ago, I wasn't like that. I was like, I'm not coming home, more important things to do, don't you understand, I've got to grow a business, I haven't got time for the kids. That was me 10 years ago. Fast forward 10 years now, completely different.
But do you know what? It must make you a better father and a better husband now.
Yeah, it's brilliant, mate.
And it's that lessons learned, isn't it, mate, you know? What's the best bit of business advice you've ever had? And I'm sure you've had a lot. Anything that stands out to you that's like,
Best bit of business advice is, best bit of business advice is to, I know, a bit cliche, never give up. Just never, ever, ever give up. Don't become emotionally attached to your business. It's just a vehicle to provide something for you. So don't get to it. If it doesn't work, draw a line under it, go on to the next thing.
Do you think your ability to move on is the reason you're successful now? Because you've had success, you've fallen.
Yeah.
Having that ability to move on. Because some people
Don't live in the past. Just let go of stuff. You know, just let go of it. Draw a line under it. However you can do that. You probably need some help to do that, because sometimes we can't do it on our own. But just draw a line under it. Look at. So I'll give you an example. My renewable energy business here in Chelmsford, I ended up losing £392,000. That was the liquidation figure. Now, at the time, I cried myself to sleep for a few nights. But through that, I met my business partner. In that process, I met who is now my wife, and I've got Ivy. And through that, I learned some bloody good lessons on all the reasons why I lost that friend.
But this is why never giving up, actually, in every failure or any bad situation, there's some good to come out
always
of it if you can be positive and see that.
Always good.
You know, I think that flogging, you know, I had a previous business, with the current business I've got now, I carried on it too long. 3 or 4 years too long doing it.
And I've done exactly the same with the solo.
And now, you know, like, I've been it 4 years, and now I think I'm probably 4 years behind where actually my real journey, my purpose and passion lie. But don't worry about it, that's gone. You can't change that. You just learn from it and move on.
And my ego didn't allow me to hold my hands up in that process and say, hey, I need some help here.
I'm
scared.
Yeah.
I'm losing money. I was so worried about what people were going to think. You know, big businessman Liam fails. It was like, one of my worst fears is failure sometimes, but at the same time, it's the best thing that can happen to you.
But you don't let that bother you now. It doesn't matter if the people saw that.
It doesn't matter. I'm a lot more open today than I ever have been,
But I've noticed about you today, hearing your chat, mate, open the way you've spoken.
I think it's better to be open. This is who I am. This is what I'm good at. This is the crap that comes with me.
If you don't like me, you don't like me.
If you don't like it, you don't like it. And 6-7 years ago, I certainly was not that way.
It's huge stuff there. So, any more major bits of advice? And I ask you is because I know there's some stuff in there. She said never giving up.
Never give up. Ask for help.
Yep.
Really, really, really ask for help.
Yep.
Do not do this on your own.
Yep.
That's really important. Keep coming up with ideas. You know, just keep coming up. Keep trying. You know, you're just one decision away, one product away, one relationship away.
Yeah.
So always look for the opportunity with everything that you do. Every person you come into contact with, every relationship you have, in an event you're going to, how can I turn this
into do you have like a real openness to learning?
You're going in there with
an open mind to what's going to come out of this today.
What could happen, yeah? So... Yeah. You know, before I came here today, you know, as we've spoke about, I'm like, man, I could do help with some editing at the moment. And I put it out there and I said, I'll explore that. And then, of course, it's my duty. You're not going to explore it with me. It's my duty to explore it with you guys. And we've got a camera guy here and an editor. And it just so happens he's got some time on his hands. So if I hadn't explored that, we wouldn't be having the conversation we're about to have.
No, definitely, and I think it's that. How does someone like yourself then absorb information? Because if you've got mentors, you're going to events and stuff, and this is the thing with events, and they're amazing. A four-day event provides so many knowledge bombs and stuff. How do you practically then implement that?
Cool, great, great, great feedback. So I was just recently in Miami. I was there for 3 days, start early, finish late, making lots of notes. Then what I do whenever I want to take that learning is I'll condense it into maybe 20 or 30 actions. And then as soon as I get back, or as soon as I got back from Miami, team meeting and implement the action straight away. Implementation is absolutely key.
Huge, yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. So for me, I would say 75% of what I learned reinforced that I got in Miami was implemented in my team within 48 hours of being back.
I think it's huge. And, you know, I talk again, another thing I talk about is knowledge and action, and actually knowledge without action is irrelevant. Yeah. It's all well and good having knowledge, but if you're not actioning that knowledge and being practical with it, it's just,
yeah,
it's relevant. You know, if I'm reading, I like to read daily or learning books, and if I'm listening to podcasts, whatever it may be, take on the information, make a note, implement it. Is it working? No, and try again. I'm such a firm believer in that. You saying that, I think, is huge, mate. Really is.
Cool.
So for you, you take all this information, action it, and then do you have a system where you will, if it doesn't work, I mean, do you have a process that if it doesn't work, because not if it's going to work,
not everything will work.
Be great, doesn't work for your business.
Not everything will work. I think, obviously, I have a team, so regular feedback from the team. Is it working? Is it not working? What can we improve? More training, more communication. I think that's really important. If something that's working, just cut it and try something else.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Last thing, a couple more questions I want to ask you, mate, and then obviously I'd love to find out, I'd love you to share what you've got going on and stuff. I know people want to connect with you that don't know you because you're a cool guy, a lot going on. You train every morning at 7 o'clock. How important is fitness and do you think there's a link between fitness and business? And how does it help you?
I just think there is such a link between, if you look at most or a high percentage of successful people, they train, they're fit, they eat well, they sleep well, they look after themselves. And I think it's so important because you need energy in business. You need to have a clear mind, you need to be focused, you need to be driven. And just having that 60 minutes in the morning, because when I first wake up, the head goes, I don't want to go to the gym some mornings. But you get out of bed, you do your 60 minutes, I'm on fire. So when I start my day, I'm starting it on fire.
Yeah.
It's like, right, I'm ready for action. 8:15, I'm like, let's go.
And you've planned, you know what you're doing.
I planned, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. So I think fitness is really important. So if there's anyone watching or anyone listening to this now, and you're not in some form of fitness regime, definitely do that. It will empower you. You'll have a better life, you'll feel better, you'll sleep better.
Yeah, I put something on Instagram story the other day, actually, and I want to share the content with people because it comes up quite a bit about motivation and stuff. And you know, it's like time to time, you'd be really motivated to do something. And for me, I think true motivation isn't the days you want to do it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Motivation to me is doing something even when you don't want to do it, but you know it's for the greater good.
Yes.
You know that what you are doing is going to have an impact on your lifestyle, your work performance, your relationships. So, like, I know I don't want to train every day. Some days I don't want to prepare my food the night before to have healthy lunches. I can't be bothered to do it. It might be my days for it, and I'm going to prepare at 10:30. But I still do it, even when I don't want to do it, because I know that eating well, that training is important for Ollie Berquez, for my health, for my performance. Relating it to the work and business, there's going to be things you're going to have to do in business you don't want to necessarily do, but they have to be done for the greater good. So I think, for me, motivation isn't the times you want to do things. It's doing those things when you don't want to do them, but you know it's for the right thing and for the greater good.
So important. So sometimes my best workouts are the workouts where I've initially not wanted to go and do my workout.
Yeah.
And you just turn up anyway.
Yeah, and that's where you've got a coach, and I know the coach that takes you, and actually he's quite a motivated guy.
And the reason I have a coach, I get another 40-50% out of my session by paying my trainer, Paul, to train.
Do you have any words you live by? Any favourite quotes?
think big or go home.
Think
if
big or
if
go
I can
home.
Do it, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Act now, act fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. Mate, it's been an amazing catch-up with you.
Cool.
We've covered so many great stuff. What have you got going on at the moment?
So what's
obviously,
going on? Yeah.
I'll leave all these notes. I'll leave all what you've got in the podcast. How people
brilliant.
Connect you. So how can people connect with you? What have you got going on?
Cool.
How can people get in touch to good. Work with you? Because
yeah.
that'd be great to hear.
We've got loads of stuff. So our company is called Assets for Life. Assets for Life. And you can go onto YouTube and just type in Assets for Life. Hit subscribe and the notification bell. You can get to the website, www.assetsforlife.co.uk. You can hunt me down on Facebook, Liam Ryan. You can grab me on my podcast, Liam Ryan, The Dealmaker. I release new episodes every Monday at 8:30 in the morning, about to go to 2 episodes a week. If you're on Facebook, you can get me in a property group called Assets for Life Property Community. So hook up on the group there. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Liam Ryan Wealth. I deliver great content every day. Love to connect with people watching now and people listening to this podcast. And like I say, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. And I think anyone listening, like I follow you on your platforms. This man shares loads of great content and it's well worth a follow. Mate, thanks so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
Great guest.
Oh,
so many
man.
Good things
awesome.
Covered, all right?
Yeah, thank
you
so
much.
Yeah?
Cheers, Liam.
Thanks,
brilliant.
Mate. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for everyone for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please leave us a review, or if you know anyone that might get value from it, then just share the podcast with them. If you want to get in touch, I'd love to connect or hear from you. I'm on main social platforms, Oliver Berquez, or you can email me oliver@4dfit, that's a number 4dfit.co.uk. If you are interested in getting a little bit more advice and support, I've got a private Facebook group called Brain, Brawn and Business Community. And that's just offering advice and more support from the podcast, taking clips from that around business, health, performance and lifestyle. So it's Brain, Brawn and Business Community. You can find it on Facebook and come and join us. Other than that, thanks again for listening and look forward to checking in with you at the next episode.